Okay, hallelujah. Albina Mokano, our Father, our King, Father, we thank you so much for your holy word, that we have it in our possession, and not only just in our physical possession, but within our hearts, Father, that we hide your word within our hearts, Father, that we may not sin against you. Father, that we hide the words of our Messiah, Yeshua, within our hearts and meditate on it. And not only meditate, Father, but we are doers of the word as well. In Yeshua's name, amen. So the words of our Messiah, Yeshua, are probably the most important words that we need to study and meditate on. He is the living Torah. He is, again, the Aleph and the Tav. He is the beginning and the end. He is the one who was there creating the world with our Heavenly Father, Yahweh Elohim. He is, again, the first and the last. Everything the disciples taught was based upon what Yeshua taught them, what he trained them for, to pass, again, his words on, which we have to study and meditate on. So I just felt it was important to do a study, again, in the teachings of Messiah. Again, we've done a complete study in the book of Yochanan. We have, again, that's, I think, over 500 pages of notes, the book of Matthew and the book of Acts. These are very foundational books. And again, they're full of meat. You know, what we teach is full of meat, the word and the scriptures. So, hallelujah. So let's go forward. So we're going to be focusing on Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. This is a Tree of Life version. I'll probably be using some other versions. I'll be pulling up the scriptures as well, because, you know, we have a lot to cover, and obviously we're not going to get through everything. I'm not in a hurry to get through everything, because some of those who took the Matthew study class know the blessings there are in studying his words. And again, the Ruach just put it on my heart. He directed me back to the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and what Yeshua had to say. So now when Yeshua saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all manners of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I just want to read something actually from the notes in the book. So this is kind of an intro today, and then we will be going verse by verse. Chapters 5 to 7 constitute the Sermon on the Mount. Compare the Sermon on the Plain, which we see that in Luke chapter 6, 20 to 49, where many of the same topics are dealt with somewhat differently. For example, where Luke 6, 20 simply says, "How blessed are you poor," verse 4 here says, "poor in spirit," those who have the humble, dependent, vulnerable attitude of poor people, even if they happen to be rich. Now, again, the Gospels, each apostle that got anointed to write the Gospels, you know, brought it forth in their own way of teaching, their own words, but they were still the words of Messiah. How blessed, and we're going to look at, again, that word blessed and what it means in different scriptures. In the Greek, it is makarios, and it corresponds to the Hebrew asher, which means blessed, happy, and fortunate all at once, so that no one English word is adequate. For Hebrew example, Psalm 144:15, "How blessed, happy, fortunate the people whose God is Adonai, Verses 3 to 12 are known as the Beatitudes. Again, this is just so I'm quoting the commentary from David Stern from the Complete Jewish Bible Commentary in this section. Are known as Beatitudes because the word Beatus was used in the best known Latin version, Jerome's Vulgate, to translate Makarios. According to Eleazar Larry Brandt, no relation to us, a Messianic Jewish friend, the Beatitudes are actually Tanakh phrases in the form of blessings representing the Messianic age. At the end of them, Yeshua says, "How blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of vicious lies about you because you follow me." By pronouncing this blessing in the context of Messianic blessings, he is saying in code that he is the Messiah, which must have surprised and shocked his hearers. This understanding, again, David Stern says, supports his understanding as a theme sentence for the Messiah's interpretation of Torah. Previously, I did not have ground for assuming that Yeshua's premise in his Sermon on the Mount was, "I am the Messiah." So my understanding of verse 17 came from nowhere. Now I see that it is logical implication of the "I am Messiah" premise communicated in the code of the Beatitudes. So here again, Yeshua gave hints of who he was even on earth. He revealed his messiahship through his signs and his wonders, through his teaching, because even the sages and other people recognize that he was teaching on his own authority, not as, again, the sages and the rabbis. He taught on his own authority, and they recognized that anointing and authority in him. And those who had ears to hear, excuse me, they heard what he was saying. So again, we see in Matthew 5, he is sitting down and he is teaching his disciples. He is training them. He is giving them the nuggets of the kingdom. That word talmidim, and I know we've talked to this before, but it's important that we understand this word. Again, means disciple. The English word disciple fails to convey the richness of the relationship between a rabbi and his talmidim in the first century CE. Again, many rabbis during Yeshua's time, he had groups of students who were disciples that they trained, you know, for the ministry, that they trained to carry on their words. Both itinerant like Yeshua and settled ones attracted followers who wholeheartedly gave themselves over to their teachers, though not in a mindless way as what happens in some cults. They were dedicated to learn from their teachers. The essence of the relationship was one of trust in every area of living. You know, even John the Baptist had disciples prior to Yeshua beginning his ministry, and his purpose was to prepare them for Messiah. And several of them became disciples of Yeshua himself. Again, the essence of the relationship was one of trust in every area of living. And his goal was to make the Talmid like his rabbi in knowledge, wisdom, and ethical behavior. So again, Yeshua is our example, how we are to treat other people, how we are to love God, how we are to serve others, how we are to walk in the spirit of the Torah. So what is a disciple? The root equals discipline. The Jewish sages all had disciples. To learn, you found a teacher, i.e. a sage who had students. The disciples' job was to learn and become like their teacher. Our job is to learn and become like our teacher, Yeshua. Again, all the words in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, all the writings of the apostles were what they learned and they were passing on to those that they ministered to and taught and whose words we have. Disciples followed him wherever he went, and they in turn became teachers with disciples. The description of a disciple. The essence of the relationship was one of trust in every area of living, and his goal was to make the Talmid like his rabbi, again, in knowledge, wisdom, and ethical behavior. This type of teaching went all the way back to Mount Sinai. we see that Joshua was a disciple of Moshe, and in turn, because of his faithfulness, he was chosen to bring Israel over into the promised land after Moses departed. The Mishnah explains it this way: Moses to Joshua, Joshua to the elders to the great assembly to the prophets. So the great assembly actually came out of Babylon, and they were a group of, godly men, which included Nehemiah and Daniel. And again, the different godly men who were in Babylon and were the leaders. They actually developed the prayer siddur to keep Israel focused on Messiah, even in their temporary captivity. So they taught that we need to be diligent in judgment, raise up disciples, and build fences around Torah. We see that Yeshua built fences around Torah. The rabbis built fences around Torah, but they got a little carried away because there were so many fences that they couldn't see the spirit of the Torah. But Yeshua, his fences were pure and easy to follow and easy to understand. And again, Yeshua said that was one of his last commands, was to go into the world to preach the gospel and what? Make disciples. We are commissioned to make disciples of people that we lead to Messiah Yeshua. Again, that's the purpose of our school. That's the purpose of training you, so disciples can be raised up for the kingdom, for Yeshua. Okay, I want to go back to the notes here. So again, what is a disciple? Again, it was who was disciplined to listen to the words, memorize the words of his teacher, to become like his teacher. Again, every sage had disciples to train in the words of Torah so that Torah can be carried forward. This is all I read before, so I'm just going to skip over here. Okay, in the first century, the job of disciples was to memorize their teacher's words. So that should be our purpose too, is to memorize the words of our Messiah, Yeshua. So we can pass on the teaching again correctly. So one, to learn the teacher's traditions and practices, gems and pearls to be gathered and treasured. Again, the Sermon on the Mount, Yeshua is sharing so many gems and pearls of wisdom that we need to treasure in our hearts and to learn. We are to be a reflection of our teacher, a reflection of Yeshua. And again, to raise up disciples. We are to go and make disciples of all nations, not converts, but disciples. So the Beatitudes, that word blessed is again the Hebrew word ashrei, and the closest translation is self-actualized or deeply contented or shalom. So it has the meaning of, again, a deep peace, a deep contentment. Why? Their hope is in the reign and rule of Yahweh. The opposite of ashrei is oi or woe. Well, oi is actually a Yiddish word, but that's what it means, grief, great grief, no peace, turmoil. But Yeshua is teaching how blessed we are in him, that we have, no matter what situation we may find ourselves in life, we have that peace, that shalom that passes all understanding. And that word shalom actually means nothing missing, nothing broken, perfect peace in him. I'm going to pull up the scriptures here so we can look at these scriptures that are listed. There's quite a few. And these are, again, scriptures and how the word blessed is used. I'm going to use the Amplified because it brings the Amplified Bible. Basically, it just brings out the fuller meaning of certain words in the Hebrew. So first we're going to look at Psalm 84, 4-5. Let me make this a a little bit, the font a little bigger so it's easier to see. I'll make it 18. That should be good. Okay. So Psalm 84, Tehillim in the Hebrew. And this is actually the eSword Bible. It's a free Bible, and you could add on modules to it. I use it all the time along with the Logos Bible, but the Logos Bible software is not free, where eSword is free, but you could add additional study material to go with it as well. So Psalm 84, and actually in the Tree of Life version, it's 5 and 6. It says, blessed are they who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah. Now that word Selah in Hebrew means stop and pause and think about this. Blessed is the one whose strength is in you and whose heart are the pilgrim roads. The Amplified brings out the fuller meaning of the Hebrew of blessed. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are those who dwell in your house and your presence. They will be singing your praises all the day long. Again, Selah, pause and calmly think of that. So again, whenever you see that word, that means, okay, think about what the Father's saying. What a blessing it is. How blessed we are that we can come into his presence, that we can sing in his presence, that we can come before his presence with our praise and our worship. Psalm 89:15. And Tree of Life version, it's one, their verses are just but they're different from the regular translation. Same scripture, just different translation. Blessed are the people who know the joyful shout. They walk in the light of your presence, Adonai. Again, that's talking about the shout of the shofar. That's talking about the shout, I believe, the shabout, the shout that we are going to hear at Messiah's return. Again, we are blessed. We have that. Again, that's the word ashrei, blessed. There's a couple different words for blessed, but this is, again, reflecting the joy, the shalom, the peace that we have because we belong to him. Psalm 94:12. Blessed is the one you discipline, Adonai, and teach him from your Torah. So we are even blessed. We can even have joy and shalom when we are disciplined by him, when he brings us correction, because he brings us correction because he loves us. And he's teaching us from his Torah. Again, the broadest sense of the word Torah is in the Hebrew means his teachings and instructions, which is from Genesis or Bereshit all the way to Revelation. The whole word are his teachings and instructions. The foundation is the Torah, which everything is built upon and points to Yeshua. Psalm 106:3. Blessed are those who maintain justice, who do what is right at all times. So again, when we stand up for truth and righteousness and justice, we are blessed. It brings joy to us. It brings, again, that word blessed. Let's go back to the Amplified. Let's see. 106:3, again, happy, fortunate, to be envied. We have, again, a joy, a happiness, a blessing that those who don't have it, could actually envy us in a way, because they don't understand how we could, even during the trials we face, even during the persecution we face and the rejection, how we can walk in this peace and this shalom. Why? Because we are reflecting our relationship that we have with the Father in Messiah Yeshua. Now, Psalm 118, verse 26, this is actually the Hebrew word it's Barak, Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai. We bless you from the house of Adonai. Okay, the word Barak is when we bless God, again, it means to worship, to kneel down before him, to bless him, but it also reflects on how we are blessed by God. And this is what Yeshua quoted in the Gospels when he spoke to Israel. He says, I will not return until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai, which is referring to Yeshua. We bless you from the house of Adonai. So when we bless God, it's a Baruch. That's why, you know, the rabbis say when teaching I had was studied, we are to bless him, Yahweh, at least 100 times today, you know, a day, Baruch Hashem. There's so many reasons that we have to bless him and thank him. And Yeshua is pronouncing and speaking of these blessings and teaching his disciples of these blessings. Psalm 119, verse 2. Well, they start with verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the Torah of Adonai. Excuse me, I'm sorry with this weather. My allergies just act up a little bit. So we are blessed. Why? Are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the Torah of Adonai. Again, we are blameless because of what Messiah Yeshua did for us, because we walk in obedience to his word. Verse 12. Now here, this is the word Barak used here. Blessed are you, Adonai. This is when we bless him. We give him praises. We bless him back. We worship him. Teach me your statutes. Isaiah 56, 2. I'm actually going to read 1 to 8. And this is also in Isaiah. This is referring to using the Hebrew word again, Barak. Thus says Adonai, preserve justice, do righteousness. For my salvation is about to come and my righteousness is revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the Son of Man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning Shabbat and keeps his hand from doing evil. Do not let a son of a foreigner who has joined himself to Adonai say, Adonai will surely exclude me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says Adonai to the eunuchs who keep my Shabbatot, but who choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. I will give to them in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. Again, back in the ancient Near East, the male eunuch is one who cannot produce children. He doesn't have the ability to do that. He's either made, he may have been made a eunuch due to, again, the Gentiles. If sometimes we see that in the book of Esther, the eunuchs would be in charge of the king's concubines and wives, and they would be, you know, made eunuchs. So they were castrated, so they could not, again, mess around with the wife, so to speak. And then Yeshua brings out those who are made eunuchs for the kingdom of God. Again, they are set apart, called to be maybe single for the kingdom of God. But here he's saying, because being a eunuch back then was kind of a shame, not being able to, again, procreate and bring more children into the kingdom of Israel. But God's saying, don't look down on yourself. Even includes, again, Israel was to make disciples of the nations as well. They were to be a light to the nations. They were to bring the nations into the knowledge of the one true God. We see that in Ruth. Ruth was a Gentile. She was a Moabitess. She became a follower of Yahweh Elohim, grafted into the olive tree of Israel, was made a part of Israel. So the same as Rahab, they are listed in the lineage of Yeshua. Verse 6, also the foreigners who joined themselves to Adonai, in other words, those who were born outside Israel, they came to faith in Israel, they came to faith in the God of Israel, but they weren't natural born Israelites, Gentiles from the nations. Also the foreigners who joined themselves to Adonai to minister to him, and to love the name of Adonai and to be his servants, all who keep from profaning Shabbat and hold fast to my covenant. These I will bring to my holy mountain and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Again, what Yeshua quoted when he was when he cleaned the temple from people that were ripping off people for the money changers. Adonai Elohim, who gathers the dispersed of Israel, declares, I will gather still others to him, to those already gathered. Now, you know, I just saw something that I didn't see before. Yeshua said there are other sheep that are outside this fold that I need to gather. And here Isaiah is again prophesying what that Adonai said, that I will gather still others to him, to those already gathered. So here we see the door is going to be open for the nations to come. Actually, the door was always open to the nations to come in if they repented, if they gave up their paganism, if they chose to follow the God of Israel and became a proselyte and lived according to the Torah. So again, this person we are blessed by God. So here again, this is the word Barak, to be blessed by God. Again, it is a twofold meaning, God blessing us and us blessing the Father. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the one who trusts in Adonai, whose confidence is in Adonai. And I'm sure that's Ashrei. okay, that's Barak. Blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence is the Lord. So, you know, we can't escape from his blessings. We are just, it's the Father's will and joy to bless his people. And we're going to see again, as we study Yeshua's teachings, a great love that the Father has for us. And again, it is his halacha, how we are to walk as disciples in him. Psalm 1. Again, Psalm 1 is the blessing that's prayed on a Rav Shabbat over the husband, the head of the house. Happy or blessed. Happy is the one who has not walked in the advice of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the Torah of Adonai, and on his Torah he meditates day and night. He will be like a planted tree over streams of water, producing its fruit during its season. Its leaf never drops, but in all he does, he succeeds. So again, this is a blessing, again, for prayed over the men, but actually applies to anybody who walks in the way of righteousness. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 2. And here it actually, verse 1, okay, Tree of Life. Again, this is a psalm with David, a contemplative song. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is pardoned. Blessed is the one whose guilt Adonai does not count, and whose spirit there is no deceit. So we know in Messiah, our transgressions have been forgiven. So again, we are blessed. Our sin is pardoned in him. Blessed is the one whose guilt Adonai does not count. Why? Because Yeshua took all our guilt upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Yahweh in Messiah Yeshua. And when we, again, if we miss it and we sin, we truly repent, he forgives us because of the blood of Messiah Yeshua. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is Adonai. Again, the Amplified, again, it's the word Ashrei. Happy, fortunate, to be envied. Again, is the nation whose God is Adonai, the people he chose for his own inheritance. Again, this is referring to Israel. I'm sorry. The blessing that Israel walked in, because why? Because Adonai what it was and is their God. And we have, again, any nation who makes Yahweh their God, you know, God has blessed. Again, in the beginning, no, this country has not been perfect. Why? Because there's still sin and evil in the world. But when this country was founded, it was found on Judaic Christian principles. It was, again, in God we trust. Again, all through the Constitution, these are based on Torah principles. Unfortunately, today, this country, and I'm not talking about the true believers, the remnant within this country, has departed and walked away from God. So we expect God to bless us when we've shunned God and don't want anything to do with him. No, blessed is the nation whose God is Adonai. If this country wants to see blessings, they're going to have to bow their knee to the God of Israel, to bow their knee to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to bow their knee to Messiah Yeshua. No politician is going to be able to do that. Yes, there are good politicians, but there's a lot of corruption, and they're not our saviors. Okay, Yahweh is our savior. Hallelujah. Psalm 40, verse 4. And actually, verse 5 in the Tree of Life. Blessed is the one who puts his confidence in Adonai, who is not turned to the arrogant, nor to those who fall into falsehood. So we are blessed when we are happy, we are joyful, we are content, when we put our confidence in him and not in man. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back to okay. So again, Yeshua is, you know, what the world looks at as weak, Yeshua says they are blessed. The Bible uses many synonyms for spiritual weakness. These words are often used in the book of Isaiah and the Beatitudes or teachings of Yeshua. Again, poor, poor in spirit, lowly in spirit, brokenhearted, one who is humble, a mourner, those who are hungry for righteousness. Again, that Yeshua is teaching about. Again, what the world sees as weak is really strong, is strength in Messiah. These synonyms indicate that the people of God or Yahweh Elohim are those who realize that their utter dependence is on him. So I'm going to bring the scriptures back here. We're going to look at these verses. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. Our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we have no power to face this great multitude that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So again, here's a prayer. Again, Jehoshaphat is praying. We don't have that ability in ourselves to stand up against these mighty forces that would try to destroy us. Again, speaking of Ammon and Moab, that were coming to attack Israel. But our eyes are on you. Again, we need to, our strength, our utter dependence needs to be on God in every situation, whether it's finances, healing, the salvation of our family, what he has called us to do. We have to keep our eyes on him. We have to keep our eyes on the word, the living word, Yeshua. Psalm 127, verse 1. In fact, the Father's given me this verse several times. I just need to get something to drink here. Hallelujah. A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless Adonai builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless Adonai watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. Hallelujah. Pray for my throat here. His sinus is dripping and stuff. It's just annoying. Thank you, Father. So here, unless Adonai builds this ministry, unless Adonai builds this congregation, if we are doing it in the flesh, we are laboring in vain. Unless Adonai, again, watches over this country, watches over our households, the watchman stands guard in vain. Again, pointing to the fact that our dependence on him. John 3:27. Hallelujah. Let me go back here. This is, let's begin with verse 22. Afterwards, Yeshua and his disciples came to the land of Judea. There he was staying with them and immersing. Now, Yochanan also was immersing at Aion near Salem, because much water was there and many were coming and being immersed. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Now, an argument came up between John's disciples and a Judean concerning purification. They came to John and said, "Rabbi, the one who is with you beyond the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is immersing and all are coming to him." And Yochanan answered, "A man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven." So here, Yochanan is pointing him back that he is here to point them to Messiah. He says, "You yourselves testify that I am not, I said that I am not the Messiah, but rather I am sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the best man rejoices when he stands and hears the bridegroom's voice. So now my joy is complete. He must increase while I must decrease." So here Yochanan is pointing to the fact that his utter dependence, number one, his calling, his job was to prepare the people to receive Yeshua. And he knew that he had to decrease. His time of, again, discipling people, preparing them for Messiah, was now in the hands of the Messiah himself. And Yochanan was, again, was totally, again, saw that he must, that Yeshua must increase while I must decrease. Yeshua must continue to increase in our lives while our own self, our own selfish desires or whatever needs to decrease. We need to submit ourselves to his desires and his plans and purposes for our life, which is only the best. John 15:5. "I am the vine," again Yeshua speaking, "you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We can accomplish nothing. We can do nothing outside of us being connected to the vine, abiding in Yeshua and bearing fruit in him. And then 2 Corinthians 3:5. I'll begin with verse 4. "Such is the confidence we have through Messiah toward God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our competence is from God." Again, any abilities we have, any anointings we have, isn't because our own competence or our own natural ability. It's because of that spiritual ability that God gives us. And we need to be sure that in everything we say, everything we do, no matter what position he puts us in life, we need to acknowledge that our dependence comes from him through the Ruach HaKodesh who he's given us, and all glory has to go back to him. Again, only when we admit our inability and weakness can we live continuously. But not only must we be aware of our total weakness, we must see it as a form of blessing. So let's look at Psalm 8:2. "Adonai, our Lord, how excellent is your name over all the earth. You set your splendor above the nations. Out of the mouths of babes and toddlers, you establish power. because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. So here again, as an example, babies and toddlers are the most vulnerable, the most helpless, because they are totally dependent on their parents to take care of them, to protect them, to clothe them, to nourish them, to teach them, to train them. Their total dependence is upon Him. But here Yahweh is saying, these innocent, totally helpless, dependent, when you are totally helpless and dependent like that, it is through you that He establishes His power. He shows His power strong in our behalf. So we have to be, in fact, Yeshua brought that up. We have to be like little children in the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 to 28. Yet God chose the foolish things of the world so He might put to shame the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world so He might put to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly and despised things of the world, the things that are as nothing, so He might bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human might boast before God. I'm just going to finish this. But because of Him, you are in Messiah Yeshua, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and holiness and redemption, so that it is written, let him who boasts, boast in Adonai. In Hebrews 11, the writer summarizes this principle in just three Greek words, and I'm sure I'm not going to pronounce these perfectly. I prefer the Hebrew. Adinamotothisen apo athineias, whose weakness was turned to strength. Again, Hebrews 11, giving honor to those who went before us, who suffered much, but were faithful, looking forward to the coming of Messiah. They were faithful to God, again, who the world looked at as weak and, you know, worthless, and, you know, people that were, you know, a little mashugana. You know, that's how the world looks at us. You know, they look down on us because of our faith, but we are strong in Him. What they think is weakness is in turn spiritual strength that the world does not have. Only when we realize our spiritual inability can God operate in and through us. Only when we look to God rather than relying on our own strength can God use us. So again, we need to walk humbly before Him. We need to realize that the ability we have, the anointing we have, is all from Him. The understanding, the calling, everything we have is from Him. We need to rely on Him and whatever He has called us to do. Even that is not enough. Not only must we recognize our weakness, but we must be content with that situation and give thanks to God. Again, faith is dependence on God. It is emunah, being faithful to Him, being dependent on Him. Emunah, faith, belief, is closely related to spiritual weakness. It is hanging in there in spite of the circumstances. But faith is also recognizing as our dependence on God. Again, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Examples of faith. Abraham knew that God would have to perform a miracle in order for him and Sarah to have a son. He knew his own weakness, and that was precisely where his strength was. He knew that, again, he in himself, he totally had the inability to bear, for his wife to bear a child or for him to produce a child. He was totally trusting the Father's promise. The Israelites, when they were cornered at the Red Sea with Pharaoh hot behind them, knew that only that God was their only hope, but that was their strength. Samson was strong only when he trusted in Yahweh. again, when he took his eyes off of Yahweh, when he succumbed to temptations and, you know, the lust of the flesh, he lost his strength. Jacob, when he became Israel, was so desperate and afraid of what his brother Esau was going to do that he refused to go in without Yahweh's blessing, and wrestled with him until he got it. The Samson syndrome is a great danger for us. When Samson was strong, he began to depend on his own strength. The minute God does something for us spiritually, we begin to think that we are strong. Again, there's a temptation to think, oh, look what I did. And we need to realize that, no, it was God that did this. Again, the world's view is, again, you need to be self-confidence. I'm talking about, there's nothing wrong with self-confidence if you put that confidence that you know that you're confident is from Yahweh. But the world's view is, again, pushing God aside, you know, you need to have self-confidence, be self-sufficient, be self-reliant, be self-righteous, be self-centered, get self-help. Again, in context with walking with Messiah, again, we keep it, it's not our confidence, it is in self, is that in Yahweh we are confident, in Yahweh we are sufficient, in Yahweh is our reliance, in Yahweh is our righteousness, in Yahweh we are centered, and in Yahweh is our help. Totally the opposite of how the world looks at things. Let me pull the scriptures back up here. Okay, 2 Samuel 22:40. And these are some examples. You girded me with strength for battle. You made those rising up against me bow down before me. So here, giving glory to God, that verse 33, God is my strong fortress. He keeps my way blameless. He makes my legs like a deer and sets me on the heights, who trains my hands for battle so my arms can bend a bronze bow. You gave me your shield of salvation, and your answering has made me great. Again, giving glory back to God, realizing that it was because of him, his confidence in him, that he received strength so his enemies could be turned back. Isaiah 28, 5 to 6. In that day, Adonai Zevaot will be a crown of glory, a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, a spirit of judgment for him who sits on the judgment seat, and strength for those turning back the battle at the gate. So here, again, reflecting back to, he is our strength. He is, again, we are his crown of glory. And he gives us the strength for turning back the battle at the gate. Again, speaking of spiritual warfare, he gives us, again, that authority in Messiah Yeshua to overcome the enemy. Why? Because of the name of Yeshua. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Again, totally the opposite of the world's way of thinking. Here we see that our strength is from him. When we are in fear, he takes that fear out. We don't have to be dismayed because he is our God. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He is our strength. He is our help. And we need to make sure that we continually remember that. Daniel 11:32. Let's see. With smooth words, and this is speaking about the anti-Messiah. With smooth words, he will seduce those who act wickedly against the covenant, but the people who know their God will stand strong and prevail. Again, no matter what, again, yet the spirit of anti-Messiah has been around since the time of Yeshua. The spirit of anti-Torah has been around, and you know, since Yeshua and prior. This, you know, the spirit that wants to come against all that God is and all the Messiah is. But those who know God will stand. We will be strong and prevail, because the enemy, again, his day is coming when wickedness will be judged and we will rule and reign with Messiah. So we have a hope. We have a future. We have a joy to look forward to. So now we're going to end with scriptures regarding weakness and strength. 1 Corinthians 15, 43, and we're going to end with this and then continue on next week. I'll begin with verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead, sown in corruption, raised in incorruption, sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, but raised in power. 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians. Okay. I was in the wrong Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So here, again, in context, it's talking about, again, Shaul's vision, this thorn in the flesh, which was actually persecution. You know, people say it was sickness. It was actually the persecution that he suffered. Again, praying that, you know, this would let up, that it would stop. But here, Yahweh speaks back to him, again, Messiah, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Messiah will dwell in me. And then 13 verse 4, for he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives, speaking of Messiah, through the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we shall live with him by God's power toward you. Hebrews 11:34. Let's begin with 33. Again, this is all, you know, speaking of those who went before us, those, the faithful men and women of God who stood on the word, stood for righteousness, stood looking towards the coming of Messiah. By faith, they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and made foreign armies flee. So again, we are strong out of our weakness. And we are, you know, referring to the weakness of the flesh, we are strong in the spirit. Numbers 23:22. Here, speaking of, again, of Israel, this is, again, a Balaam's oracle regarding Israel. Verse 22, God is bringing them from Egypt with the strong horns of the wild ox. Again, looking at and seeing, again, that the strength of Israel, that God, that Israel was brought out by the power of God. Again, an axe is referred to as strength. Strong horns is referring to as strength, recognizing the strength of Israel. Verse 21, no misfortune is to be seen in Jacob, and no misery in Israel. No misery in Israel. Adonai, their God, is with them. The king's shout is among them. Numbers 24, verse 8. God is bringing them out of Egypt like the strong horns of a wild ox. He devours nations hostile to him. He will crush their bones. His arrows will pierce them. Again, recognize the grace, the strength of God. It was God's strength that delivered Israel. It is his strength that delivers us. 2 Chronicles 6:41. Now arise, Adonai Elohim, to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your Kohanim, Adonai Elohim, be clothed with salvation. May your godly ones rejoice in goodness. Psalm 18, here there, one verse is a positive and then another is a negative. Psalm 18, verse 2. He said, I love you, Adonai, my strength. So here again is a song of David, worshiping Adonai and realizing that Adonai is his strength. Adonai is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock. In him I take refuge, my shield, my horn of salvation, my stronghold. And then Isaiah 43, verse 2. For you are my God, my stronghold. Why have you spurned me? Why do I go about gloomy because of the oppression of the enemy? So there are times when, again, David was feeling down regarding, again, that, you know, his enemy attacking him, his own children going after him. Well, let's read the whole psalm. For you are my God, again, my stronghold. Why have you spurned me? Why do I go about gloomy because of the oppression of the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain and to your dwelling places. Then I will come to the altar of God, to the God of my exceeding joy, and praise you upon the harp. O God, my God, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you murmuring within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him, the salvation of my countenance. So here he's actually rebuking himself, you know, rebuking his thoughts and saying, why are you downcast? Why are you thinking these thoughts? My hope is in God. He is my strength. He is my salvation. And that's what we need to do the same. We need to encourage ourselves. We need to speak to ourselves, you know, speak against those thoughts and speak what the word of God is saying, encouraging ourselves in the word. And then Psalm 52, 7. Let's just read this, the whole psalm. For the music director, contemplative song of David. When Doeg the Edomite came and reported to Saul, telling him, David went to Abimelech's house. Why do you brag about evil, mighty man? God's loving kindness is every day. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor working deceit. You love evil instead of good, lying rather than speaking right. Selah. Again, this is exactly what the enemy does. You love only devouring words, treacherous tongue. God will put you down forever and snatch you, rip you out of your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. Pause and think about that. Then the righteous will see and fear and laugh at him. Here is the man who did not make God his stronghold. So here's just the opposite. This is a man who is depending on the flesh, depending on his own abilities. But the righteous will see again and laugh. Here is the man who did not make God his stronghold. Instead, he trusted in his great riches and was strong in his evil desire. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's loving kindness forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. I will hope in your name, for it is good in the presence of your kedosh. Alvino Mokeno, our Father, our King, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessings that you have blessed us with. We bless your holy name, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Father, we thank you that we can walk in joy. As we study the words of our Messiah, we realize what a wonderful position that we have, and that when we feel downcast, we can speak the word, we can encourage ourselves in the word, we can have hope in the word and strength in the word. Father, I thank you that we are continually strengthened in Messiah Yeshua, and that we hide his words within our heart, as his disciples, as his Talmudim, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Hallelujah.